We have Mike H., also from Washington, D.C., facing the real me.
Hey. Okay. Hi, family. I'm Mike, and I'm an ad. Oh, boy, I thought that shit wasn't going to never end. I had to pray the whole time. It's a good day to be clean. I'd like to say a shout out to all the people who came up from D.C., and came up here to support me, man, and hear a message of recovery. This is a good topic for me, man. I'm excited about this topic. Facing the real me, man. Shit. I messed up 3 families, 4 jobs, total 3 cars. Messed up about 9 relationships, and none of them was my fault. Thank God for sponsor. And some step work, man. Immediately when they gave me this topic, I went to page 15, third paragraph, why are we here? It came a time in our life where we had to face our own problems and fears, and we could no longer blame people for our addiction. And that right there is facing me, because everything I did, I blame you for it. Let's see, in 1995, I got clean. I was at a meeting down in D.C. called the Pathfinders. And I had a habit of going in there, raising my hand. I'm Mike, and I'm an addict, and I relapse. And I stay clean for 3 days. I go back in the meeting. I brought that fly all the way from Southeast. We're going to cry a little bit, we're going to laugh a little bit, and we're going to recover a little bit. I went back down Pathfinders after 3 more days. I said, I'm Mike and I'm an addict, and I just relapsed. It was something about I couldn't get the zeros together. The 20, the 30, the 60, the 9, I couldn't get the zeros together. So I go back down Pathfinders one more time. I'm Mike and I'm an addict, and an old man named Henry say, hey, shut the fuck up and quit coming in here with that bullshit. And I don't care who your connections is or who you know. All I want to know is how I can help your ass. And before I can retaliate, I had slid down in my chair. I'm like, he don't know who the fuck he talking to. Ain't that what we do? Here's the grace. I got 19 years clean. I had 19 birthdays. I've been off drugs since I was 39. And if God can save a wretch like me, he can save one of y'all. It's only through his grace and mercy, man. I got co-workers here, sponsors here, sponsees here, neighborhoods here. So I wanted to tell some lies, but some people in here know the truth. Just got out of an 11-year relationship. I don't know what the hell wrong with these women. You get a job. I got a job, bought a BMW. That woman said, I don't want to be bothered no more. And what I found out is you need to stop trying to recycle what God trying to replace. It ain't nothing like an undiagnosed addict. Walking around here for 10 years and don't even know who the fuck you are. It took me about 15 years to stop sleeping with the enemy. Any of y'all in a relationship like that? Can't do shit right. I've been up here since 8 o'clock, been saving marriages. I I'm going to go resign at my job, go in for a counselor or some shit, right? Man, I'm so happy, man. I'm so full of joy. I'm so grateful, man. I used to catch this bus in D.C. called the B2. I used to ride that bus to cop. I rode the same bus to treatment. Then I turned around and rode the same bus to work. I went from a B2 bus to a BMW. And ain't but one person can do that, and that's God. I got a good job. I got a career, man. And I got a coworker always tell me, man, don't steal him in his face, man. Lose your good job. And what I've been going through this year as far as facing the real me, I'm going to tell y'all, I'm tired of people downplaying my position. This ain't the year to tell me. Let me tell you, in the 10th step in the spiritual flat book, Spiritual Principles, it talks about how it's not your job to dictate or censor or determine where you think somebody else should be in their life. The next sentence says it is quite simply wrong. If you think I should have a car in 6 years, you should buy the motherfucker. Because first of all, it's wrong for you to deny a person's, you know, pain. People got to go through something to get something. You seen that commercial come on TV? Are you an addict? If you are, call this number. We have people who are not addicts anymore. I say, this shit is fucked up. But I'm so grateful today, man, because in facing the real me, man, I had to go through some things, man. This is April, man. April last year, my mother died, right? And this April make 1 year she's been dead. And I miss my mom every day. I'm not the kind of addict that say that if my mother die, I'm a use. One of the blessings I was able to share with my mother was she got to see her oldest son, the addict that when she would ride around 2 o'clock in the morning, and I'm hiding behind trees and ducking between cars. That same addict that she took said, don't come back to my house until you get some help. That same addict that she said, what you gonna do with the fucking rest of your life? That's the same addict that spent 19 years with that woman. And it's truly been a blessing, man. I don't hold my head down, man. I had a wonderful time with my mother, man. She died from throat cancer, right? I'm the oldest of 8. I got 5 brothers and 3 sisters and 2 locked up. And I suffer from a disease called Big Mike-ism. My sponsor don't say, look in the mirror and look at the dummy. He say, look in the mirror and see what your problem is. You know, and I come to this place in my life, right, where I stop blaming everybody for my problems, right? And one of the things my sponsor always tell me, right, is take responsibility. I get tired of being a bigger person. I call him, I say, man, I'm tired of this one right here. I need to let this one go. He said, if you're tired of being a bigger person, then you're tired of living. I was reading something the other day, and it talks about your value don't decrease based on someone else's inability to see your worth. I got a real problem, and I'm just going to go ahead. I'm trying to hold back, but I'm going to go ahead and share the way I share what I mean. I don't get along with short people. Short people get on my nerve. They always want to mess with somebody 6'3", 6'11". They don't want to mess with the little short guy right there. See, he like he about to kill somebody. They always want to mess with somebody like me or less. And so I got a problem with the bitch word. I don't sex play on my job, and I don't use that word lightly. I get this career-based job. Somebody must have told them that they was going to hire me. In orientation, they was like, no grounds for immediate grounds for dismissal. There'll be no arbitration. And if you hit another employee, it'd be immediate grounds for dismissal. Like somebody done told them people I'm in here. Six months on the job, I asked a coworker to help me. A short guy. And he called me every name in the book. And he poked me in my chest, told me about don't ask him for this. And now I'm getting nervous because I like to steal people on my job, in my neighborhood, short people, females, fathers, uncles, cousins, brothers. And this dude is in my face. To give you a little brief synopsis about me, I lost a mail job. I was a mailman. I had everything in my mail bag except for mail. I had screens, hangers, charboy, cans, ashes, mirrors, alcohol, cotton balls. I had everything in my bag except for mail. The lady crossed the street and said, "Are you delivering the mail?" I lost a phone company job. I was an engineer assistant for 7 years. I worked for Washington Gas out in Springfield. I worked for WSSC, Washington Suburban Sanitation Department. I wanted to sell crack. I thought I had a career in selling crack. So, you know, it was good. I'd buy you a Jaguar, I'd buy you a Benz. I buy you a Range Rover, and I'll go home with nothing. Facing the real me, I walked past some people on the porch one time. It was a lady and two of her kids. I had been out on a 3-day binge. I smelled so bad when I walked past them, all of them leaned over like this. I had got, what you call it when you out there, I got my man. Man had just cut up. He said, "Man, you get your man, come holler at me." I went upstairs, got a whole bunch of drugs. I came back downstairs. And when I came back out the apartment building, I walked past him, they leaned over again. And I never wanted to face me. I smelled that bad, man. You know what I'm saying? And I'm so grateful today, man. I'm going to tell you some good stuff, right? I got more than I ever asked for, man. I'm living better than I ever lived, right? And I'm getting stuff I know I don't even deserve. God been that good to me, man. You know, and I'm in service. I got sponsees. You know, I try to help people. I go down to the shelters and feed the homeless because I want to give this thing back, man. I'm so grateful for Narcotics Anonymous, man. You know what I mean? And the thought of me using about my mom, what I came to understanding was if I use crack, it won't bring my mother back. And I had to do some work to get here, right, man? I did some work on my job. I get an evaluation, right? I'm talking about a crackhead, right? And I like to sniff that candy, too, right? I'm on my job. I got an evaluation. It says, goes over and beyond expectations to do his job. Does his work very diligently. Is very responsible and can be counted on. I'm like, wait a minute. They can't be talking about me. Just to show you how this program can work in your life if you get out the way. You see what I'm saying? And the guy that I had the confrontation with, I tried to help him. And even though he did what he did to me, I tried to help him. Because my sponsor told me one time, even if somebody do something to you, like I had a guy quit me as a sponsor and he went to somebody else and then found out he made a mistake. The humbling part was if he come back to ask you to sponsor him, will you sponsor him? He couldn't get it in his mind to ask me, but the thing in my heart, I was willing to do it. I was willing, you know, to do something outside of the box, man. The other thing is, man, you know, I think it was in the 9th step, it talks about if you should pass over this step, you reserve a place for a relapse. And one of the things I had to deal with was my anger problem. A good friend of mine named Butch J. died, and one of the things he shared about was that Your attitude is a reservation for a relapse waiting to happen. So I had to learn how to keep my hands to myself, right? Because I was illegally sanctioned with my hands. I knew by law, because I used to box, that I cannot hit people illegally with my hands. And I used to take risks and go out and do it. One of the things I realized facing the real me is the fact that I had a neighbor who used to do uninviting things to me upstairs, like make indecent comments, say horrible things, act a very disdain way to me. So I thought it would be a good idea. Listen to me. I thought it would be a good idea to go upstairs and speak with him. I had good intentions though, right? So I went upstairs and I knocked on the door. I said, can I speak with you for a minute? Fuck you, get away from me. And I woke up in 6th District, Central Cell Block, and I was facing assault with a deadly weapon. I thought it was all-wheel drive, but it's a assault with a deadly weapon. Because, and actually all speaking, right, I don't want to come up here and share clean and then go home and live dirty. You know what I mean? So I never want to have a confrontation with anybody in Narcotics Anonymous. I call it washing your face and pissing in the same sink. I need each and every one of you in my life, right? And the way my sponsor had groomed me is, if it's something I can do to make you better, even if it's not my fault, to apologize and to be a better person. Even if it ain't your fault. He pulled me out several meetings, several situations, and just apologize. It makes you a better person. Even if it ain't your fault, just apologize. You know what I mean? I got a daughter in my life who has challenged every 19 years of my recovery. She had me buying hair, Senegalese, gladiator sandals, mohawk sweaters, capris, she thought I was trying to do was buy her love, and I don't have a skill in buying love. So when I cut her off, she just dismissed me. And one of the amends that I'm making now, that some people just ain't approachable for you to make amends. The one amends that I'm making now is just staying clean. And this thing is coming in full fruition. She was over my house the other day, bought my 7-year-old grandson, and she stayed over my house to 12:30. And I got to the point, I'm like, now, what time are you going home? And it was one of the best times. I'm just telling y'all, if you stay clean, everything will work itself out, man. You know, don't use no matter what. How much time I got? And so coming here, man, I wasn't coming up here. You know, I didn't get a room. I didn't get a hotel or anything. I just came up here because, one, I had the workshop. One, I wanted to come here and fellowship. And this is one of the best events you could put on in Ocean City. If you're in here and you're having a great time right now, give yourself a hand, right? Okay. In closing, it was this room full of these boxes. It was big boxes. They had gold paper, purple paper, red paper, yellow paper. And it was wrapped in all color bows, pink bows, purple bows, white bowls, orange bowls. And the counselor said, I'm going to take you to this room and I'm going to show you these boxes. So I said, okay. So a couple of days went by. I said, hey, when are you going to take me around that room and see these boxes? So he said, okay, come on. And he took me to this room and he showed me, he opened the door and I seen all these boxes. It was all different shapes, wrapped in all kind of paper, all different colors, and all these bows. So of course I was inquisitive. So I asked him, who's all these boxes and why are they in this room? And what he implied to me, these are all the gifts that people didn't stay away long enough to get. My name is Mike and I'm an addict. Thanks for letting me share.
Let's thank Mike and Anthony.